Hello and welcome to The Property Exchange, your guide to the latest news, views and opinions in residential property, with Winkworth, with you every step of the way in the property market. Your host is writer and commentator Anne Ashworth.
Hello and welcome to this latest episode of the Property Exchange podcast. This time we'll look at what's happening in the country market and in one particular hotspot, Tunbridge Wells. The race for space and gardens is continuing to lure people out of London. But is the pattern of migration changing as the return to the office begins? Is proximity to an easy rail link to London now a requirement for a house in the country? Are some people realising that the country is not for them at all and moving back to the bright lights? We're going to look at how requirements are shifting, with a particular focus on a location that seems to offer everything a family leaving London is seeking. Once again, I'm joined by Dominic Agace, CEO of Winkworth, and also by Natasha Furman, Director of Winkworth Tunbridge Wells. Welcome to you both. Now, first, Dominic, what's happening in the country? What key trends are you seeing? And how will the return to the office shape the market in the months to come?
So the country markets are still very busy and have been incredibly busy since the pandemic and the release of lockdown, where everyone wanted to leave behind city living. I think we have passed sort of peak country, though, and it's interesting to see how those kind of trends are evolving. Initially, it was every office in the country was incredibly busy and people were looking at all options. But sort of most recently, what we're seeing in particular sort of Q3 this year, the areas that are still growing are those more traditional areas. So these are highly commutable areas, you know, a Tunbridge Wells or a Farnham or a sort of Surrey office. It's sort of settled down, if you like, the people are looking. That combined with, I should say, a sort of push to the South Coast. So it seems as though, you know, they're those that are changing their lifestyle completely and going to, you know, live by the South Coast and enjoy the benefits of that. And those that want a place that's commutable to town, so kind of reinforcing the importance of being near work. So initially it was everywhere, really. So it has changed. And I think what we're seeing now is a number of people being called back to London, really, to their jobs. And I've sort of heard an example recently of, there's that also, and the fact that there's nothing available. Everyone sort of bought all the houses in the country at the moment. So people are having to reassess. I mean, I know one couple that are family in Bath that are living in two separate one-bed flats because they can't get anything to rent and they're waiting to try and find something to buy. And you know, I'm not sure how long that's going to continue before they sort of give up the country dream and revert to London.
So on that basis, what would your advice be to someone who's thinking now of moving out of London or another big city? Is it best to wait until prices in the country become a bit more subdued?
So I mean, Natasha will obviously be our expert on this, but I would say that no, I can't see, and the country hasn't really had much activity since 2008 until the pandemic. It sort of suffered heavily from the credit crunch. And I think the appeal, you know, everyone wanted to keep their money in cities because that's where the growth was perceived to be. So it's well overdue, really. And I think it is a catch-up period and there has been this big boom. But I think on a sort of medium, long term, I think it's also looking pretty positive. So you know, the best thing is really, you know, I don't think prices are going to go down. I think, the rate of growth is going to slow and I think it should be steadier. But I think getting yourself in a position to buy a suitable property that comes up is and doing that now if you want to move to the country is no bad thing at all.
So staying on the subject of leaving town for the country, are there some people who just shouldn't do it? Are they townies and should just stay there for their own good?
Yes. Well, I think there are some people who are sort of city people born and bred, and perhaps the country's not what they what they expect. I mean, there's some anecdotal evidence of a few people sort of returning to Notting Hill who've thought all the country would be like Soho Farmhouse. So so I think there is sometimes a bit misconception. And clearly, you know, the country can be glorious in the summer, but there are potentially some hard months in the November, December when it's a bit cold and can be a bit isolating for those that are used to city living. So it's not for everyone, and it's actually always been the case. You know, we've always seen people come to, you know, move out of London and jump into a sort of super rural location and then sort of realise that that's a step too far, and perhaps they wanted to be in a sort of regional town, or at least near a regional town, and not make a dramatic step to sort of rural life and sort of do it in stages instead. So I think the pandemic has pushed perhaps a fair few people that may not be suited to the country to rush to be in the country, and I think you're seeing them return.
So what is it that people seem to miss the most when they leave town then?
Deliveroo. I think I was talking to someone the other day who was saying they were looking back to coming back to London to have just that. I think it seems to be, you know, accessibility of services. So, you know, it's either being able to go to restaurants if that's your thing, you know, and the, you know, you can get any food you want in London, basically, can't you, at the Taffer button, or you know, the theatre, or ease of being able to go places, I think, is a big one. You know, it can be difficult to travel to, you know, or see your friends at the local pub and organise how you do all that. And there's more effort required, really, whereas obviously everything's straight on your doorstep in a city.
So don't leave London if you really love sushi. That seems to be the message. Now, we know that the great must-have in the property market now is the house with a garden in the country or in a very leafy London suburb. Is this really bad news permanently for flats in rural locations, or could these be the bargain route to a place out of town?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, it's always been the case. Houses have always been the most, you know, far more popular than flats. I think, yeah, they haven't gone up in price. They're a way to live in, you know, regional towns and be part of the countryside. So I think they are a good option for those that want to be in the countryside for their lifestyles. So yes, and certainly, you know, houses have gone up a huge amount, so they are looking comparatively good value, I would say.
Now, this flight to the market towns and to villages, are there any implications for your business?
I think it's, I mean, we took the view in 2008 that the country would sort of return. I mean, we opened our first country office in 2005, and there are now around 40 of them across the southeast, southwest, and the main. We felt that the country had been hit sort of quite hard, and we thought it was an opportunity for us as a business to grow into these market towns for when the country markets recovered, and then be able to service our clients not only in selling their properties in London, but helping them find them in the country, and, you know, helping them sell them in the country as well. So it took a bit longer than we thought, I think, in terms of the country markets to come back. But, you know, they have with a vengeance. And us as a business, you know, we'll continue to look at areas influenced by, I suppose, we have our 60 offices in London as a sort of core network, and we look at areas that are influenced by buyers leaving London and going to, which fit us nicely as a brand, enable us to support our clients further than we do already, hopefully.
When it comes to opening a new office in the country, do you look for a vibrant high street, or do you think that if Winkworth's arrives in town, that will bring the kind of improvement that high street needs?
So it's funny, I actually got a letter once asking for a Winkworth office in a high street, which I was very proud of, actually. But, you know, people do, don't you? You write to Marks and Sparks to come to your high street because you hope house prices will go up, and, you know, write to your London estate and to bring London buyers to your high street and hope your property price go up. It'd be nice to think all people thought that way, but perhaps not. We look for areas that affiliate with London that, you know, we operate in a sort of, I suppose, family house market, and areas that have that product properties for our clients. So, and where our network can add value by kind of joining the dots. So, you know, we know that because we have a central database across all our offices, that can be used to get the best value, best outcome for our clients in the right areas that kind of affiliate with that database.
Right. So, Natasha, we're now going to go to Tunbridge Wells. It used to be thought of as a town full of crusty country types who wrote anonymous letters to the newspapers signed Disgusted of Tunbridge Wells. I'm sure it's not like that. But for those who don't know it, tell us where it is and what makes it so special.
Firstly, Tunbridge Wells is Royal Tunbridge Wells, one of only three spa towns in the country. And I describe Tunbridge Wells as London from London. It is deep in roads of Victorian terraced houses, and in the village, which is where we've got our office, there's beautiful little roads full of either big Georgian houses or big Victorian townhouses. And it's got a real mix and depth and breadth of property that's akin to London. The town itself is 30 miles southeast of London, easy commutable distance. It's just on the outskirts of Kent, crossing over to East Sussex.
So it's a really smart, elegant place. But what's the best address in town?
Well, that's the village. So anything within the village, it's around about six roads along the high street. You'll be getting the absolute prime of Tunbridge Wells.
So that is a Georgian high street. Give us some picture of what that high street looks like.
Now, the high street itself dates back to Edwardian times, and it's got a mix of different properties along it, a lot of them with the timber beams and lovely roofing and detail. But as you go up the main streets from Tunbridge Wells, and let's bear in mind that Tunbridge Wells sits in a valley, so everything out of it is a high, steep hill out of it, you've got wonderful mix of big Georgian houses, as I mentioned before, and mixed in with Victorian terraced houses. And it's no street is the same. And there's a huge amount of detail on all of the properties.
So how important are the schools?
Well, that's one of the major draws. And that, of course, gets younger families coming into Tunbridge Wells. And just to put it into context, we've got 12 outstanding rated schools across Tunbridge Wells. So some of those are primary schools, and some of them are secondary schools, and a lot of them are really good grammar schools.
And the commute, is that another attraction?
Absolutely. I mean, the commute is, you know, it's under an hour straight into the city side of London. And of course, at the moment, that's a great attraction, allowing people to have that quality of life. You know, if they're not going in for a couple of days a week, then you really are getting that country London balance.
Now, we've just heard Dominic saying that people will come back to London for Deliveroo and the just sheer diversity of restaurants that the city offers. Are there good restaurants in Tunbridge Wells, and are there any drawbacks? It sounds pretty perfect. Surely it can't be as good as that.
Obviously, I think it's perfect, but but there are. We have got a great wide variety of restaurants. You know, the Ivy's there on the high street. We've got well-known brands through it. So we've even got Deliveroo down there, would you believe it? But yeah, it does feel a lot like a town in London. And yes, okay, you won't be able to travel to another Tunbridge Wells, because that's what London is. It's a load of towns joined together. But there's no doubt we've got a vibrant restaurant, cafe, lifestyle. And we've got the Pantiles, steeped in history, which has, for example, jazz nights every Thursday night running through the summer. So it's a real congregation of people. There's restaurants that spill out onto the cobbled streets. And it's got a really, really fantastic vibe to it.
So it's got a great vibe. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Say I sold a house in Clapham for maybe 1.5, 2 million, what would that buy me in Tunbridge Wells?
Well, that would give you a great deal of choice. And you would be able to be in the village. You would be able to buy a house with parking. And if you wanted to be further out, well, then you are talking about country home, and, you know, with land, with stables, with annexes. So it really does, you know, allow you to have a very flexible and what I would call a fairly luxurious lifestyle out of London.
I'm supposing it's a seller's market in the town?
Absolutely. And, you know, listening to Dominic, he's absolutely right. There's a shortage supply of houses at the moment. And I will talk mainly about houses in that, you know, we've got an abundance of buyers that have come from London. Through the pandemic, a lot of people sold up, took advantage of stamp duty relief, and have got themselves positioned where they're either in rented accommodation or a lot of them living with family. And with that abundance of buyers and shortage of stock, you know, we've really seen house price growth, and it's been an incredible journey through the last 12 months.
Is there any type of property that just won't sell at the moment?
Absolutely. And, you know, we're back to the talking about flats. And, you know, there's two drivers behind that. One is the fact that with COVID, outside space obviously became an incredibly important aspect of living. And you know, we always have this buyers coming to us now and saying, you know, if there's no outside space, they just won't even go to the property. So obviously a lot of flats don't have outside space through Tunbridge Wells, but it's also become a lot more expensive for landlords to be able to own and operate. And so therefore, as a result, we do have an abundance of flats. It's just a little bit of a stat. In the quarter mile from the centre of Tunbridge Wells, there's about 100 flats that are on the market for sale. And by contrast, there's only about 20 houses.
Does this mean, though, there is an opportunity for landlords in the town to acquire one of these flats at a slightly discounted price? Are rents good?
Rents are going up at the moment. There is a shortage of stock. So on the rental market, we've got about 45 flats on, but I can assure you that's what Rightmove says, but they move so quickly. They're on and off in a week. So, you know, rents are going up. But you ask the question, is this a good time for landlords to get back into the market? Even though rents are going up, and even though I think that it's good value to buy flats, the gross yield is around about 4.5%. And by the time you net off the additional costs to a landlord, it's not really yielding the returns that you might be able to get elsewhere in the country. So I can't say that, you know, I can say that you'll have safe income in Tunbridge Wells, but I can't say that you'll necessarily get the highest return.
Now, have you sold a property to someone who said, Natasha, it's great, but we'd rather go back to town?
I've not had that exact scenario. I had someone at the weekend who said, well, we left London and we moved into this lovely big house in the country and it's just far too much in the sticks. So we're coming into Tunbridge Wells. So they're moving right into the village of Tunbridge Wells because that was far too big a step for them. But we have not had it as yet where we've got people that have said, we've decided to move back into town. We will find that a lot of people haven't actually sold their house in town or are buying something in Tunbridge Wells in addition. But it's very rare that we'll find that once they've made the decision to come out to Tunbridge Wells, that they'll want to move back. And there's two main reasons for that, is that it's quite a deliberate decision because of the commuting distance and also because of the schools for those that are choosing to start a family.
Now, is there anything that the town needs that it hasn't got yet?
I think that the shopping centre, the Royal Victoria Shopping Centre, really does need a bit of a boost. It's been going into decline for quite a few years. And let's talk about, you know, some of the big anchor tenants there that have been stepping away, some of them because obviously they've gone into liquidation. And so that part of the town has definitely suffered, particularly through the climate with the retail market becoming more and more challenging. So I think that there needs to be investment in that part of town. But we've got an abundance of new flats that are going up and around and trying to attract people into the town as well as new housing. But my view is that we do need more houses. And whether that's houses being built or, you know, vendors putting houses on, we certainly have a big shortage of stock.
Right. So you've taken us on a trip to Tunbridge Wells, I think given us all something to think about there, and a town that has everything almost that London has, plus a great commute. But it's all been about the country in the last 12 months, but petrol prices are rising, Dominic. And in a rural location, you just can't rely on public transport the way you can in London. Do you think that this could lessen the allure of the shires?
I think the potential isolation has always been a challenge for the country, and that's why, as Natasha said, you hear people jumping into rural locations and then coming back to the town, because it is a big step from being able to hop on a bus or a tube and go to anywhere you want and see all your friends to to having to kind of organise cars and drive, you know, where who drives and all the rest of it for your sort of Sunday lunch. So I think that's always been an issue. Petrol prices, I don't know. I suppose hopefully not. Hopefully we won't have sort of prices growing in the months to come much further. But obviously time will tell on that one. Really, I think the more important thing might be broadband. People's ability to access fast broadband and continue to work from home when they're in these more rural locations.
Quick fire question. Going to the country was one of the most marked phenomena of the pandemic. Is that permanent, Natasha?
I think there has been an absolute shift to going to the country, and we've absolutely seen it in Tunbridge Wells. What I can say is that I thought that coming through the first half of the year after we saw the stamp duty relief that we may see a significant slowdown. But actually, we've seen the opposite, and I think it's going to be a continued trend now, particularly as there's been permanent shifts to people's living and their life into London. And we've come through this final quarter of the year, September onwards, and we've got more buyers than ever that at the moment haven't found a property to live in. And so it means, as Dominic was saying, that we've got sustained house prices. But I just can't see it going away at the moment, the demand for Tunbridge Wells and out-of-town living.
So, Dominic, a reset that's permanent or just a temporary thing?
I think somewhere is always somewhere between the two, isn't it? So generally with life, I think there is it's been a long time coming. I think the appeal of the country has only increased. I think people have the confidence to go and move their asset out of London into the country and see growth in that asset, which is obviously an important consideration. And clearly more people will be able to work, you know, just 3 days in the office or part-time working or hybrid working, which facilitates it. So I can't see anything but a pretty benign outlook for the country market. But clearly at the same time, you know, a lot of people are coming back to London where their employers have required it. And for the young professional building their career, you know, it is important to be in the office, in the meetings, you know, networking, learning off the mentors and progressing their career. So that's why I still said really peak country move. I think we've had peak country move. I think it's still a very benign outlook and prices will rise hopefully a bit more steadily than they have last year. But I think we're also seeing activity return in the city. So overall, everything's looking fairly positive.
Thank you, Dominic. And thank you, Natasha, for this thought-provoking chat about the market that also took us on a day trip to a historic town. Do subscribe and join us for next month's podcast, where, again, we'll be talking about a key trend in the property market.
This has been the Property Exchange podcast. For more information, go to winkworth.co.uk or find us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. The producer was Tom Maddox. For more episodes, make sure to subscribe to your favourite podcast provider.